Yo, yeah, what's happening? How are you? Hey, welcome as we prepare for this is the official landing strip, if you will, of WrestleMania. And who doesn't love a good landing strip, right? And it's time to talk wrestling. And when we do that here on this here platform, we talk about it like nobody else in the world. So without further ado, man, let's get ready to dive into the first Black Champ podcast. And I'm still the pick. That's right. Your podcast, Intercontinental Champion, Care from the Port.
Yo, and I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barber Shed Network, home of First Black Champ Podcast. Matter of fact, search out dfbc.pod. You get all those episodes right there. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. Click the link up in the bio. And follow us on everywhere, dfbcpod. All right? Again, dfbcpod. Search us out. Follow us. Check out the episodes. All of that. Great show prepared for y'all today. Might as well go ahead and get right to it. Look, we finally have a home within the WWE universe for Ms. Jade Cargill. She is headed to SmackDown, or as she said, she's going to take her talents to SmackDown. So it is official. She is a SmackDown wrestler, and it is very interesting how Jade is on SmackDown and some of the things between Bailey, and Damage Control is happening. But before we get to that, I know that you, I won't necessarily say critical, but you had some questions about Jade Cargill in the DE compared to AEW. She's definitely been in the Performance Center. She had a great debut at the Royal Rumble, picking up and putting Nia Jax on the shoulders and throwing her out and that thing, one of the final four in the Royal Rumble. So what are your thoughts on Jade Cargill finding a home at SmackDown and what her prospects look like there?
All right, man. Well, first, critical is fair because I was, I think for great reason. And I think that's why we are now just getting her on a brand right now. I'm still kind of on the fence, but as I look at the talent that exists in NXT, maybe that's also not the greatest space for her either. Even though I know that NXT is normally the proving ground, if you will, I think there's a lot to be said for the people that just have the it factor, the star power, and they just got to learn the wrestling to a greater degree. And I believe Jade Cargill is firmly in that position. So I think this is a good move. It's a good move because of the women that are there. Not only is it, Naomi, Bayley, and Bianca, and even Asuka, Io, Dakota, and supposed to be when she's healthy, I believe. Charlotte is no longer on SmackDown, right? She got moved around that last draft, I believe. But saying all that to say, what better women to actually learn the ring psychology, the storytelling, and all of the great ins and outs that can get you to main eventing or mid-carding a WrestleMania for a title or not, than the women that surround the SmackDown roster now. So overall, I think it's a good move for her. I think the Royal Rumble went probably better than they expected. So accelerating her progress ain't necessarily a bad thing either. But for everybody that's thinking that, oh yeah, she should be in the main event by Money in the Bank, you need to calm the fuck down.
All right, so very interesting interactions on SmackDown this past Friday. Normally you see somebody get their ass whooped before they get to the ring. This is quite the opposite. Io Sky beat Bayley's ass before Io Sky went to the ring to wrestle.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting that this is where we was going. Like, yo, I'm going to beat your ass. Then I'm going to go wrestle somebody else. I thought thought that was very interesting. But you know, we talked about the sisters, all right? You know, so if we're, you know, if in the early 90s, if we're going to do the dudes with attitudes, like Sting and them. Sting was that Lex Luger or Flying Brian and, you know, the guy, the Steiner brothers and all of that. You know, well, the sisters, you know, Bianca Belair and Naomi, they had a rough time on SmackDown. Now, Damage Control, you know, as a group, you know, you got Io Sky going up against Bayley, but then you got the other three. Right? You got Asuka, right. You got Kairi Sane, and you got Dakota Kai, who I don't know if the tag belts will be defended, but it's three of them. It's three. So I'm going to ask you a question. Would you rather see the trio of the sisters go up against the rest of Damage Control, or very interesting that Nia Jax is probably going to be out of a match at WrestleMania, of course. But the last time we saw Nia Jax and Jade Cargill in the ring together, we had a Royal Rumble moment. Now, this would be along the lines of big, meaty women bumping meat.
That sounds much better than the conversation last week, you know. Let me just throw it out there very first and foremost.
I know how to pose these questions. Hey, which match would you rather see? Would you rather see Jade versus Nia, or would you like to see Jade in a six women tag match versus Damage Control?
I would say the six women tag match only because I'm not sure who is the, well, I know who's supposed to be the leader in the Nia Jax versus Jade Cargill match, but I don't think that match from start to finish is WrestleMania worthy right now. Right now, there's other matches you can put together randomly that will go harder than that. Shoot, Liv versus Nia and a Falls Count Anywhere match hits harder than Jade versus Nia at WrestleMania in just a normal exhibition.
I agree. I'd rather see the six women tag match because you also get to protect Jade too. And you might need some protection when it comes to Nia Jax. Nia Jax can take some liberties.
Yeah.
You know, we went through a whole time where the internet wrestling community wanted to hurt her.
Yeah.
Because of what she did to Charlotte Flair. Well, I mean,
here we go.
I don't know what else we think will happen differently. You know, if it's Nia Jax versus Jade Cargill. I think she might still need a little bit of protection from the WWE Universe. Not for her in the ring. It's the WWE Universe. You still want to bring her in slowly and properly. I think if you put her in a match with Nia Jax, she defeats Nia Jax one. That's like 3-4 wins, well, losses in a row for Nia Jax. So you also want to protect her too. But also you get to put her in a match with elite level talent all around her with Bianca Belair and Naomi right there. Going up against the rest of Damage Control. And, you know, you can let her get the hot tag and all of that stuff and then get hurt, lay on the side of the ring real quick, you know what I'm saying, and be there for about 5 minutes. Then she bicycle kicks somebody and she gets the pin. Like, I think that would be better off. But it's something that I've been noticing, and I might not have been the only person that has noticed this. I think you had mentioned something like this. Is Bianca Belair about to turn heel?
Hey, listen. All signs point to yes for me. Because it's, and I think she's due for it, obviously, even though, I mean, hey, the superstar money is the superstar money for the faces, but everything about Bianca Belair's character over the last few weeks now has said, like, you know what, this is about to go left for somebody. And why not? Hey, listen, when you got Bayley turning face, you got Naomi coming back, who's just always just better as a face. And you got Jade Cargill, I think, who by default is going to be a face until she really learns the game. Bianca Belair has to turn heel, kind of, because you don't have Charlotte Flair. You got Nia over there on Raw. And the other good heels don't speak English that well. So, you know what I mean? So you kind of got your hands tied here. Somebody got to do it. And why not Bianca Belair, the most successful women's wrestler of this decade where we sit right now?
Yeah, it just feels like it. You know, watching SmackDown on Friday, she's definitely on the I don't trust you, Bailey. / hey, y'all cost me everything, and now you want me to be your friend? Oh, please, right?
Yeah.
While everybody else is like, come on, no, she's changed. It's almost like Jimmy Uso in a sense because of the bloodline and you know, his place in all of that. Similar situation, but Bianca's going about this way differently than Drew McIntyre did.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, because she still got a girl, Naomi, that still needs some help. So, I can almost see, not now, let y'all know this is not before or during WrestleMania. But I could see that night after WrestleMania, especially if they take a L, where Bianca be like, well, at least SmackDown, where Bianca be like, fuck all you hoes. Now, I like Bianca Belair better as a heel. Her work in NXT, all heel,
yeah.
I loved. So I can't wait for Bianca Belair to be like, fuck all you hoes. Matter of fact, that needs to be a shirt.
Yeah. Hey.
Just blank all you hoes. Because one, I can see Bianca Belair telling women that. That's one. And two, in this case, she should be. Because if Bailey is going all the way face, she needs a heel to go up against. Mm. So it makes sense to me that Bianca Belair turns heel and be who she was in NXT, bring that back, just main roster version, and start going up against Bayley.
Yeah, hey, you know, I'm not opposed to that, you know, and it's so funny that just every time I hear fuck all you hoes, I immediately think, get a grip, motherfucker, and then, like, a beat drops because RIP the Notorious B.I.G., so. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Bianca turning heel. This is technically the Bianca Belair that maybe the majority of the WWE Universe crowd never saw, you know, since they kind of do that repackaged thing where they're like, oh, we're going to bring a lot of the NXT people up and do a lot of their same spots and same storylines again. I think this is a good time to unveil that layer of character again. I'm with it because hopefully it takes up the time from something from NXT I actually don't want to see again, even though if they do it, I hope it goes a different way. So, yeah. We'll talk about that.
No, you're good. All right, man, it remains to be seen what happens, but it's definitely trending that slight blacks versus Asians.
Just like every nail salon in America.
Hey,
it was,
man,
right there, guys.
Hey, yeah, that's true. Let's go ahead and get the Sally Beauty Supply advertisement, you know, squared away. Or, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Sally Beauty Supply, what's that? Street Fight. Sally Street Fight. There we go.
The Sally Beauty Supply Street Fight.
Sally Beauty Supply Street Fight. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control. Let's go ahead and do it. If you're from the hood, you definitely understand what we're talking about. Hey, let's go ahead and get into this Rock shit. Because now, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, we in the midst of the road to WrestleMania. It ain't a lot of shit to talk about.
That's true. That's true.
I do have a question about, you know, the CEO towards the end of the show. But, you know, once we get to these predictions, you know what I'm saying, it ain't a lot of shit to talk about. Unless this is like, what was that, WrestleMania 2000 or 2001 time where it was like every night on Raw and SmackDown, it was like must-see. And I'm going to ask a question about that a little bit later, too.
Yeah.
But we didn't get Rock on SmackDown this week. We got Cody versus Roman, or the stare down.
Right.
That was supposed to happen. But, of course, Roman wasn't popping up alone. And, of course, Cody wasn't popping up alone. So
yeah.
I was thinking about this right before the show. Well, was it last year's WrestleMania? We knew we had Cody versus Roman, right?
Right.
But the Sami Zayn shit was just very interesting. We had talked about this in abundance, like, man, maybe they need to switch this. Yeah. So it's funny that it's a year later and people are still having this conversation.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. It's so funny you said that. It's so funny you said that because Cody Rhodes obviously has the worst luck in the world. But is it really luck? Because at the same time, you can say Cody Rhodes is just like the top face in the company, right? You can say that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, for some reason, every time WrestleMania happens to roll around, it's just somebody hotter than him. It's like every single time. It never fails. And obviously, when he was dashing Cody Rhodes, when he was Stardust, when he was just Cody and Legacy, every time, obviously, been somebody hotter than him then, sometimes it was the person that he was standing next to. But now, at him at his prime, at his apex, at his peak, he can't seem to be the focal point. And not only does he win the most important match to get to WrestleMania, he's in the main event for the main title, guaranteed on the last day in the last match, and it's still somebody hotter than dude. It's crazy.
I don't make the rules, ladies and gentlemen. Rock versus Roman was kind of mentioned there a little bit. You know, Cody was like, yo, do you trust your mans?
Yeah.
So which we figured that they was going to go. But do face-offs like this make you more interested in seeing the story finished or nah?
For me, nah. And because, you know, and then of course, you know, I just want to stick to my script. I want to stick to my guarantee from December, I believe, of 2023, when I said the story shouldn't end at WrestleMania and it don't need to end at WrestleMania. So, I mean, for me, I've never been sold on the story, like, anyway, because it's still the WWE, which is AKA the WWF, which is the place that Dusty just contributed to and really is Twilight with, you know, everything he did with the NXT roster. To me, dang, with a T, that's crazy. Unless Cody is going to do it and he bring back Clash of the Champions, he bring back Great American Bash, he bring back Fall Brawl, Super Brawl, Starrcade. To me, this don't hit as hard for me, even though Cody, all things considered, is a WWE product. Even though he leaves and comes back, his lineage and everything, he's the one Rhodes that really built Legacy there and only there, all puns intended. So finishing this story, it just doesn't resonate with me that greatly. He needs to do something else besides look really nice in the suits, make emotional pleas, and cry, and tell me how he still ain't got it done for his dad, who ain't here. Sorry. I just...
Stop disappointing your daddy.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, when does that promo come? When's the dark? You ain't even doing it yet. Like you 0 for 3. Like, when does that come? When does it happen when it's like, yo, you, like, why don't you watch some film of your dad and figure out how to get this done?
I mean, at this point, anything's possible. Anything works. Now, what I'm interested in this whole finishing the story thing is the day after WrestleMania. Bizarro WrestleMania. I'm more interested in the pop that happens that night and who's going to be his first opponent.
Okay.
So I ask you, if Cody Rhodes were to finish the story, who should be Cody's first opponent?
First opponent, Cody Rhodes. With my guarantee aside from that, right? Okay, hold on. Wait, let me think about this, because if he wins, technically, then he's on SmackDown.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, he's not going to finish the story, win the belt, and then come to Raw, and that's where he remains. He might be there the night after, but he won't be there long term. So literally, even with that said, it should be somebody that I think really challenges it should be somebody that's really hot or really challenging to his story, and the heat check of Cody finishing the story, Cody has the belt, now what? And so for me, with everything said, it should be the winner of AJ Styles, LA Knight. Because no matter what, you either get one, again, you get the hottest guy that, well, at least he was the hottest guy in the company. I don't know. It's a little heat check on LA Knight right now. And then you get AJ Styles, a guy that no matter what, you know what I'm saying, you got to see three AJ Styles matches and you just know, okay, he's in the conversation. So, you know, now my personal pick would obviously be Bobby Lashley, but I don't think that he's gotten over the Aryan Nation yet. So, with that said, AJ Styles, LA Knight, the winner of that should be the guy to face Cody Rhodes if he finishes the story.
Interesting. Because I was sitting here just thinking about what to talk about on the show today. I think we got a pretty good show. But that night after WrestleMania, I think, is key to a lot of stuff. And I'm almost more interested to see that than WrestleMania. Wow. I'm almost ready to see the day after WrestleMania that I am to see any of the WrestleMania nights.
Huh.
Because things change.
Mm-hmm.
And some cases it might change for the better, sometimes it might change for the worse. Like, I think Fandango had a great day after WrestleMania. There's others, but his is the most memorable to me because everybody was doing this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he took off.
Right. I don't know what that was that I was doing, but it was stuff that he was doing.
It only looks crazy because you didn't really do the music. You got da 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 da. Yeah.
There we go. So I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about what if Cody Rhodes do finish the story, how emotional that night will be. But I'm also remembering when Stone Cold won the match against Shawn Michaels. And who was one of his, I think it was his first opponent. And that was Dude Love. If my memory serves me correctly. Like, imagine if Dude Love would have won a championship and not Mick Foley or Mankind.
Yeah, that. See, but even that, you know, Vince is like, okay, we're going a little bit too far with these characters in cosplay. You know what I mean?
Same man that gave us Big Boss Man the nails. Well, same.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? True. From Cobb County. Helping folks do hard. The Big Boss Man, I got to segue here. The Big Boss Man had one of the weirdest character arcs to me in the history of modern wrestling. He came in as a cop, a correctional officer.
Yeah.
Talked about how he'd be beating dudes up in prison and all of that stuff. And he leaves his comeback as less than who he was. I got questions on that. But I digress. I got questions, though. Because the Big Boss Man went from super heel bad guy to the dude that was just trying to, you know, protect the law. But then Nails comes. I see. I know we're going off script here.
Yeah, for sure.
But I just thought about this all this whole time. Big Boss Man goes from bad guy correctional officer who beats people up, chains them up, hurts them, to seeing the light and being everything that you forgot he was in the first place, which is wild to me.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, you know, it was like cop reform, you know. We were watching, I think it was like, we were watching old Survivor Series. And, you know, if they did the original Big Boss Man character, like the 88, 89 one, like, he would be like a MAGA superhero. You know, if you ever take a trip down to town in Georgia, you know, so like, whenever I see the sign when we driving to Georgia, and that music is... If you ever take a trip down the coast out in Georgia, you're gonna serve hard time.
Hard time.
The Big Boss Man is on the line. You better watch him up. You'll be serving hard time. And I'll be like, man, this sounds like the Klan is just going to come out the sewer like a fucking Thriller or something. It's just crazy.
So pause that, right?
Yeah.
Nails comes and says, yo, you beat my ass in prison, so now I'm about to get it back. And Nails was wrong.
Right, yeah. Hey, that's how they turned him face. By letting the inmate who said he was getting abused by the correctional officer in the prison, so he get his lick back in public. And he beat the Big Boss Man so bad that he turned face. I'm like, only in white America where a cop gets beaten so bad that we love him.
Just want to throw that out there. Because I thought about that. I was like, wait a minute. No. How Nails is the bad guy here? Nails is triggered by him seeing him beat people with these
nice
sticks. He can't get his leg back? First Blood Chat Podcast. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wave, you get your favorite podcast. All right, look. Let's go ahead. It
was crazy.
You say what?
You broke the law. You're going to serve time, boy. I'm like, oh, man. Like, yeah, they definitely picked his opponents carefully the way he was talking.
I don't remember too many black guys getting beat up by heel.
Yeah. Imagine
this kick.
I'm going to Google it just in case.
I was just thinking about this. I might be wrong, God damn. But I pray and hope that the WWE didn't have a match around the Rodney King riots date which saw Boss Man go up against a black dude.
Hey, listen, I had to see, I had to Google it for myself, but they did it years before. Cause I was like, you know, Big Boss Man versus Coco Beware happened, but that was 1988. I just wanted to make sure it went 90, I think, too. I was like, oh, like, wait a minute. Was I too young to realize it? Or, you know, you know what I'm saying? But no, it was SummerSlam 1988, Big Boss Man versus Coco Beware. Because at first I was going to be like, yo, you know what? They didn't even really have him face Coco Beware. But but I should have known. I was like, but no, Coco Beware was definitely the enhancement talent for a lot of those guys. So
yeah, it is. All right, man. Speaking of you know, all the stuff we were talking about with like grudge matches and stuff. Hey, this LA Knight versus AJ Styles stuff is getting a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
LA Knight went on the quest to find AJ Styles. He was like, fuck it, I'll just get his address and go to his house.
Yeah. Oh man. It never ends.
The WWE does it best when somebody ended up at somebody's house.
Yeah.
In a fighting storm. Sometimes your family is real, sometimes it ain't.
Yeah.
But my question, what was your favorite house ass beating tool?
Man. Like the thing used in, like you said, like just you, like house ass whooping tool, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you know, obviously, you know, the boy Grayson Waller got high on the list for me, you know what I mean, just because of who he was whooping, you know what I mean? I think we, because Pillman 9mm was so, like, high up there that we forget that Steve Austin hit a dude and then threw the kiddie pool on him. I think that was... That's innovation like none other. I was like, I know that. Like at the point of time, it's just funny. I was like, hey, yo, he gonna hit dude and kick him and then just throw the water in the kiddie pool on him. Like, that's funny. That's just all right, funny.
So, I got something to add at the end of the show about the Quiet on the Set documentary and what you just said.
Oh.
About the Nickelodeon kids, because that.
Yeah, what, I haven't seen it all, but yeah. Yeah.
Who was the best? Or what was the best in-house fighting that you've ever seen on WWE program?
Listen, man, I'm gonna stand on this forever because it was so funny. I didn't even expect it coming, and it really wasn't even a fight because with Edge. He goes to John Cena's parents' crib and he just slapped the shit out of his pops. I was like, yo, like that's still number one for me. That's over Pillman 9mm versus Austin 316. That's over, that's actually over Randy Orton, but he again, another great one. Obviously, y'all know it's fuck Johnny Wrestling all day. So Grayson Waller, you know what I'm saying? I always show him love. But nah, man, for just the role that Edge was on at that moment. And I want to say at that time, I don't think they had really gotten parents involved to that degree. Because the way Edge slapped John Cena. John Cena pops. I was like, oh, this, wait, is this real? Like, he hit him hard and he hit Matt Hardy. Like, this don't, like, that's a grown older man. Like, he shouldn't have slapped him like that. He was already way bigger than dude. And he was like, ah. And then it was just like, what? Like, yo, that. Do something about this, John. That's what he did. So nothing is ever over that for me.
And mine's got to be the OG. It's got to be Pillman's Got a Gun.
Pillman's Got a Gun.
Because they were just laid out. Just like, yo, waiting for him to pop up. And everybody, every last one of us thought that Stone Cold got shot that day.
Facts. Super facts.
But that's the one to me. That one will always be the gold standard. And in this case, it gave us the Attitude Era.
Yeah, you know, so absolutely.
We got that there. I'm trying to think if it's any other one.
I mean, look, I know they had, I think it was Randy. Now, I think Triple H did the home invasion thing with both Edge and Randy Orton. It just... I don't know, but by the time it got to Triple H doing it, for me, it was too contrived. So I was just like, all right, I know what's supposed to happen here. You know what I mean? Like, so it didn't really hit. I'll tell you what. Now wait, okay, hold on. I got a dark horse pick because it ain't really his crib, but it is his crib based on the character that he was.
Okay.
But when Jay,
huh? No, go ahead.
But when JBL kicked the Mexicans across the border, hey, I was like, yo, this man is nuts. He was like, hey, he had the flashlight in the woods and the bushes and debris, and was like, hey, what, you gotta get out of here. Like he literally were kicking Latin individuals out of America. That was a vignette. That's what happened. That was a segment on SmackDown. JBL, who's from Texas, and is the longest reigning SmackDown champion of all time at this point, is now kicking Mexicans out of the country.
Yeah, that's wild.
That was wild.
Vince, back in that day, didn't care who he offended.
At all.
That's terrible. But does this make, I mean, I know last week you was talking about how this match right here is somebody that you feel like, some match that you feel like can steal the show.
Mm-hmm.
Does this right here help that? Because, I mean, I think sometimes you can overgive. You can do a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it makes it seem like this match is very, very personal. So yeah. This is definitely not like the WrestleMania 7 we put niggas together that we didn't even know had beef match.
Right.
Like, they clearly have had beef, and they're like, yo, we finally got a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps it because I do believe that this match, as far as promo goes, it's overshadowed because, I mean, for all things considered, there's a guy that really wasn't supposed to be at WrestleMania at all that's kind of taken over the whole weekend, and that being The Rock. I think if, and at the same time, I honestly do feel like if The Rock was not involved and this was just Cody versus Roman straight up part two, not only do I think Jimmy and Jay would have a brighter light on them, but I definitely feel like LA Knight and AJ Styles would have a brighter light on them. To be honest, if remove everything away concerning The Rock, I don't think that Seth versus Drew, even though Drew is selling the shit out of this moment for himself, so I will give him props for that.
Hey, his work on Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
He's bodying this.
So maybe he helps out a little bit more, but technically, I think for just fever pitch storyline, where the game is at right now, I don't think that Cody versus Roman 2 is hotter than a lot of these undercard matches. And I think they're kind of sandbagging some of these storylines to make sure it's not hotter than that. I think that's why The Rock is getting a half hour every show so for I'm the glad last that three you or said four that. Weeks.
Great segue. Are you good with that? Because even on SmackDown, it felt like they had like 30, 45 minutes to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, are you cool with these extra long as one Warrior Nation ass promos to start off? Because those digging the crates real quick. They had the Ultimate Warrior doing promos like, yo, what the fuck? This is too long. Boo, yeah. Get this man out of here.
Yeah.
Are you good with these extra long ass segments and promos?
No, because to me, that shows how hot these matches ain't. If we keep it in a buck, when you got Io versus Bayley, when you got AJ versus LA Knight, you got Jimmy versus Jay, all confirmed for WrestleMania. You mean we got all of that and we got to see The Rock for 25 minutes? Like, you mean that, like, the Hall of Famer, Paul Heyman's going into the Hall of Fame. What else we got? I'm sorry. Oh, we got the six-way tag title match. We got Gunther versus Sami Zayn. You mean we need to see Cody for 25 minutes? Cody and Seth got need 25, 30 minutes. And then if you add Drew McIntyre to that, they need 35, 40 minutes. No, this is literally, to me, all a ploy to keep us focused on the title matches, because this really ain't that for them. This card, WrestleMania 40, the biggest WrestleMania ever, it is, but we could literally argue every night, every hour, once this is all said and done, if it was even worth the wait to see Cody versus Roman too. Because here's the other piece. Who was it? I don't know if it was Drew or if it was Seth, when they was like, well, you know how the Roman Reigns match is going to end. So literally, even with that said, excuse me, somebody better win clean. Because it don't matter if everybody get robbed the rest of the night. You can't put Cody versus Roman 2 back on night two at the end of night two, and it's still in with Solo coming out there and Jimmy coming out there and the spear, and now he get the Rock Bottom now because he did. Like, you can't end the show with that. And then in Philly, no, they'll burn that stadium down. So I even think that that's why it's so much emphasis on night one. Night one, if you lose, it's bloodline rules. I think all of that is over-explaining to try to dupe us, the wrestling audience, because they know they can't give us the same finish or anything similar to it for the second night with what they got on this undercard.
So with that being said, let's go to something that I said that I want to happen last year. Did not happen. Kind of upset that it didn't happen this year. But on SmackDown, first match of the night, Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar. You know what I'm saying? They wrestle in the match, and then all of a sudden, the tall, slender man comes out there with a Rey Mysterio mask, and he cost him the match. It just so happens to be his son, Dominic. Now, I guess you could say that... Guess you could say that, no, this is odd person out situation. Because if Judgment Day has all of that stuff going on, what do you got? You know, unless you're going to be in a match with J.D. McDonough as your tag team partner. I don't know.
Yeah.
But clearly that man went to SmackDown and was like, yo, I'm about to cost my daddy a match. Should we finally get mask and career versus hair match between the father and the son?
I don't know. Because obviously it makes sense, right? But I guess the best way for me to say this is this. If we're going to get Dom versus Rey again, then I need more venom. I need more one trying to ruin the other. Like, I really need this to uptick and upsell So Dom is in a really great place after it. Like, obviously, the booze drowning him out is a result of just people loving Rey Mysterio and how that all went down. But Rey won the match. So, you know, at the end of the day, Rey won the match. We booing because, hey, you really a loser and you talking tough. Now, though, you got to turn up the Eddie Guerrero in this. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, they should end their feud with the ladder match. You know, and maybe it's just, you know, if I win the ladder match, then you got to take off your mask. And if I win, you got to take off your hair. You know what I'm saying? Or you got to leave forever, whatever it is. But I want more from the feud than Santos Escobar being the common denominator.
Escobar.
Yes. I'm sorry for Santos Escobar.
Escobar.
I don't want that to be the only reason why they're feuding again.
Yeah, I wanted that match last year. I don't, unless it has those steps.
Yeah.
And even still, I think they missed their boat last year.
Yeah.
I think they truly missed their boat. Because in 2 weeks, y'all not going to make me care.
Exactly.
And depending on matches, certain matches with steps. Why we didn't do this beforehand? Now we want to do it?
Yeah.
It made all the sense in the world last year to have those two guys wrestle for one of those three things.
Yeah. Man, maybe in the middle of SummerSlam they can convince me, but not right now, though.
Yeah, I'm all good on that. One thing that I'm trying to figure out, and I don't know how much you saw this, but Mercedes Moné made her debut on AEW television 2 weeks ago. I've been trying to give it a chance. But it just don't feel authentic. So have you checked out Sasha Banks's or Mercedes Moné's debut on AEW television, or at least through the social media accounts? Because I have a depending on how you answer it, I got a follow up question.
Okay, so I haven't seen all of it. I seen like that piece that, you know, kind of confirmed it. I do need to watch it because maybe I'm a little jaded. But to me, AEW, especially the way it's where it's at, like right now, it's literally everything that's anti or the antithesis, if you will, of everything that Sasha Banks in the WWE said she needed, wanted, and demanded, because I'm just as good as the guys, you know what I'm saying? And don't give it, and we're not getting our fair shake. And I'm like, so you go to AEW? Like, that don't scream all the stuff that you claim that you were fighting for and boycotting for and walking out on. It just don't seem that way, but I could be wrong.
No, I don't see, there's some people that belong in the WWE. Mm-hmm. There's some people that belong elsewhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a perfect example of somebody who's been involved with some controversy this week, because he said some little Asian woman broke his undefeated streak.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's kind of that, but Mercedes Moné feels like she is a WWE product, so she should be there. I looked at those two promos and it just felt like pandering to me. Uh-huh. It felt like, say all the right things to get these people. And she's not taking a real true bump and all of that stuff. She was saying, you know, in interviews that doctors told her that her ankle injury would be career ending. So she's happy and all of that. But now she's in AEW and it just feels like it's is it too early to say that this is going flat?
No, because of her cachet, because of her stock, because of who she built herself as. And again, you know, Sasha Banks, the wrestler Sasha Banks, you know, I'm not trying to discount her being Mercedes Moné, but Sasha Banks, for all things considered, left on top. You know, she left as one of the most decorated, celebrated, sought after women in the world of professional wrestling. So fast forward, you know, you lay low, you get your health right, you get your body right, you go to Japan and do all your things, you have your life moments, you're still hanging with your girls and all of that. And now you come back and now you're pandering to a new crowd. And it's just like, why not just go back?
She said she'd be back anyway. Right. She said she'd come back anyway. So it's like,
yeah. So it's kind of one of those things. It's like, so to be real, as I think about this, and this is all said, and I haven't seen the whole return, but what it feels like to me is that Sasha is trying to pull it, or Mercedes is trying to pull a Cody, but she ain't Cody yet. And that's what this is. It's like, you guys like, nah, you really got to get ghosts for about 3 years, but really be out here doing what he did. Like Cody became a champ all over the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? You had a handful of matches. It's a big difference. And I get that, you know, before you left, you had headlined the WrestleMania, but I mean, hey, just being fair, the women's division don't grant you that much cachet that the men's division will. I'm sorry, just because there's just not a lot of women across the world that you could, quote, make your list of, like Cody did, and go here and go there and fly over there and go there and have these matches and make these moments to where your stock goes up. Everybody's still saying all the women you need to be in the ring with are in the company you left, right, with the exception of maybe like three.
Yeah, like... Okay, I'm going to give you four names. Goldberg, Sting, in some cases Ric Flair, and I stick with those three.
Okay.
I believe that even though they jump ship in some type of capacity to the E, they belonged over there if it was still there.
Yeah, they're still WCW products throwing through.
They still WCW products. You have Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, Ted DiBiase, Shawn Michaels. Y'all are WWE people. It looks better with you being there. It looks totally different and totally better. So when I look at Mercedes Moné, people still see you as Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
And you look out of place. I wonder how long, because it sounds like she's getting a boatload of money. So I would have done this too. But it just feels like that. It feels like that as much as we've going to get in this situation from her and AEW. Because they going, we need you. We paying you all this money, we need you.
Right.
I'm not excited to see her wrestle any of the women on that card.
Exactly.
So why do you need to be there?
Again, man, it's... Unfortunately, and again, I hope nobody misconstrues this, but I'm sorry, Sasha Banks is finally, she just played the hand of, I'm just as great and as big of a star as the other guys. And unfortunately, other women have become bigger in the space in her mild absence. I say mild because it ain't like she's done nothing. She's just not at the tier that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, hey, look, it's Tiffy time right now, G. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's Tiffy time right now. Jade is, you know what I'm saying? She's had her moment at the Royal Rumble. And when we look back at this year, people are going to put Jade entering the Royal Rumble in the face-off with Nia above the night Mercedes Moné showed up at AEW. Like, they're going to do that. Tiff's performance at Elimination Chamber. Whatever Rhea is going to do at WrestleMania against Becky Lynch, like, that's going to be up there. It's, and I'm sorry, but, you know, there is no moment to create, no matter what check you're cashing, that's going to equate to that in AEW. Like, it just, you just don't have it. You just don't have the recipe to make that kind of moment. This is really, I mean, honestly, to me, Bang, this is going into business for yourself 101.
Mm.
Like, this is going into your business for yourself 101.
Okay. Yeah, I'm very interested to see, because she's taking bumps. She's giving people the new finisher and all of that stuff. But, man, she just feels like a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
It feels like anything that she says or does is not going to say the same, have the same effect on across boundaries, because it's like, yeah. Who else y'all got over there?
Yeah. I mean, and all things considered, she should have the Asuka NXT run over there, and it makes perfect sense. She should never lose. Like, Sasha Banks should, I'm saying all I said earlier to say this. Sasha Banks shouldn't lose one match in AEW. She right. should literally, her whole contract, she shouldn't lose one match, not by countout, not by disqualification, like nothing. She should never lose a match. And that can be y'all's story.
I agree with you on that. I totally agree with you on that. Like, who gonna beat her? Don't even sound right even saying it.
Right.
Like, who gonna beat her? Like, who on that roster? When you look at that roster.
Right.
And you make all of the matches, this person's gonna go over on Sasha tonight. She didn't even look at you like.
Right. It's like, wait. Y'all paid me for that?
Y'all, Willow Nightingale? Oh, y'all tripping.
Right.
It just feels man. Like it. Look, like I said, it wasn't a lot of stuff to talk about this week, because next week is prediction week. Look, man, next week we are going to pick all of the winners so far. Because you never know what match is gonna pop up.
Yeah,
it might be a Mask versus Head. We might get Camp's Big Meaty Invitational.
No, we won't get that, or at least not in the men won't. Now, if you want to, you want me to sanction the match, it'll be the Big Meaty Ice Cream Bar Invitational.
Hey, who would be the winner of the?
Should me.
All right, there you go. But nah, man, next week we are
I'm going all the way over again.
All the way over. Next week we are going to get into our predictions part one, because we know things can change. Yeah. But we might as well go ahead and start preparing for the Showcase of Immortals in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on who we think we should win, and that day after WrestleMania moment. Like, who is going to be the people with the spotlight that is on them? So will Cody finish the story, or Will The Rock do what he got to do for family? Who's going to win between Jay and Jimmy? Like, that match is going to be a hell of a match. I think it's going to be one of the matches that might be match of the night, because these two dudes really, like, look like really wanted this and everything. And then plus, like, we have a better idea or how this round out. Also, if you have not watched Dark Side of the Ring this season, please do. I still got to get to the Terry Bam Bam Gordy episode. But man, oh man. Man, the stories that we're starting to get to come out of wrestling, thankful for Dark Side of the Ring and for WWE Legends. If you guys, this is probably before, this is back in the day, I believe. But we did a oral history on British Bulldog Davey Boy Smith.
Yeah.
Who is tonight's subject for WWE Legends. We told y'all then, and we're going to let the show tell it now, but we told y'all then, Davey Boy Smith may have been the greatest crackhead of all time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I definitely don't know one greater.
That was a clip that came from Bret Hart that said, that he's talking about the SummerSlam match. It's like, man, Davey was in a little bit of trouble. He was inebriated. Mm-hmm. But he was able to me to have one of my best matches in my career. Hi.
Wow.
Imagine if Davey Boy Smith never took a drug, y'all.
Man. Hey. Hey, he called himself the UK Hulk Hogan. Apparently he was right.
Amen. But yeah, we have a better idea about what these cards look like, and we definitely gonna see some movements. Hopefully, between this week and next week, we find out more about who's going to be in the tag team title 5-way pack. Shouts out to DIY for winning their match against the Creed brothers.
That's what we're doing. Oh, not bad. Didn't know that was a thing we did in the first Black Chat podcast. I didn't even know. My bad. I'll read the notes better. When you send the notes, I'll read them better. I didn't realize we were going to do that.
Hey, the heat that just came off of that, oh, that's what we're doing.
Okay. Word.
Hey, man, look. Just listen to the last. Matter of fact, I'm just going to shut up and give it to Kemp. Do you have any guaranteed tees?
Oh, man. You know, nothing new. Nothing that I haven't already said. I am. This is an interesting time for the two-night biggest WrestleMania ever. They're really cooking this bird slow. I'll give them that. Because usually by now, especially, we've had the entire card, and the only thing that's left to announce is like the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. But we know everybody else. But there's still some very prominent men and women on the roster that don't have anything to do for WrestleMania, and that's interesting in itself. As of right now, I'm not going to make another guarantee because my predictions – I'm going to send them up.
Guarantee. I guarantee it will be the sisters versus the nail techs. That would be dope. That would be hilarious, though, if they do have a Sally's Beauty Supply street fight between Bianca Naomi. Bianca Naomi and Jade versus Damage Control. You know, that did not mean the sound as bad as it sound, but
it'd be hilarious, though.
All I'm saying is do we really need Bianca and Naomi to be the tag team champs?
Nah,
we don't. But we need Weave flying. and we need fingernail polisher to be flying everywhere. Hey man, let me shut up before I dig myself into a hole, man. Camp end us all.
All right. Hey, man. Well, listen, guys, we hope you enjoyed this episode. You know what I mean? as I'm looking through the notes, yeah, my man really went off script for, a few minutes ago.
I did.
Y'all don't even get that. I mean, obviously I get that because, you know, we impromptu, we do this on the fly. But yeah, man, he should have never did that. But hey, man. Hey, listen, you know what? Hey, look, we appreciate y'all. We appreciate each and every one of y'all for joining in on this conversation today. You know what I mean? Being a part of the Ooh. First Black Champ community with your likes, comments, shares, questions, rumor, and the innuendo, the sharing of the memes, and about videos.
Roll up. They beat them by roll up.
Yeah, wild, right? Man, obviously, Bang and I could do the show by ourselves. Hey, maybe I need to do this by myself. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? With some of the predictions we and the things that we're updating you guys on, I don't know. But I will say right now, though, I still feel like all of us being a part of the FBC community does make it that much greater. I mean, hey, man. I mean, wrestling, it should bring everybody together, you know? We should do things that would separate things. You know what I mean? But hey, man, listen. If you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. It's the Pick and the VPDOC, and we are out. And just to be clear, fuck Johnny Wrestling and DIY.
No, man.
Like, fuck Johnny Wrestling as a staff, a label, a tag team, and a motherfucking crew. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw the end of that match, you the first person I thought about.
Man, I was mad as hell. I was so looking forward to seeing he went going to WrestleMania. I was like, hey, and stupid ass me. Matter of fact, since you brought this up, this bonus content. We out after this. We're not, let me put this down. What's up with the Creed brothers being the tag team that's to beat, and then they lose the fucking DIY on Raw, and the goal is to get to WrestleMania? Why would we do that? Here I am. This is the other reason why I don't want to give a goddamn tea this week. Here I am thinking after a couple weeks ago, Tommaso Ciampa about to turn on Johnny Wrestling, and they weren't even gonna get this far, but yet. They beat the Creed brothers to get to WrestleMania. Homie bigger than both of them. How they win that match? I was super upset. Like, that is the one thing in wrestling that pissed me off this year. I haven't really been mad at much. But that pissed me off. Fuck Johnny Wrestling. We out.